They say the best things in life are free. And you know something? They're right. Jimmy Stewart here. Want to invite you to download your free audiobook now. Just punch in audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow and get yours today. The fine folks at Audible have more than 75,000 titles to choose from, so there's something for everyone, even if you're an illiterate vagrant. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Go on now, you can afford it.
From Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Jeffrey Ross.
In Long Beach, California, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
From the Roundabout Studios in Livonia, Michigan, I'm Eric Tritko.
And I'm Jason White.
I'm your host, Craig Cole.
And I'm producer Ben Sanders.
This is Roundabout.
Hello and welcome to Roundabout, episode number 53, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Every week, like a colony of albatrosses, we soar high above the internet in search of tasty morsels. In search of tasty morsels to scoop up in our bills. Once we target a particular news topic,
ground-based creature.
No.
They soar for hundreds of miles, Eric.
They have long wingspans.
Largest.
I thought
wingspan.
They hung around people's necks.
Every week, like a colony of albatrosses, we soar high above the internet in search of tasty morsels to scoop up in our bills. Once we target a particular news topic, we dive from tremendous heights to pounce on the unsuspecting story. If we're lucky, one of these weekly hunting expeditions, we may even stumble upon a cohesive, zen-like theme. Whatever's left over? Well, actually, there's nothing left over because we devour everything we can get our beaks around. So we can regurgitate it to you, our loyal listeners.
Yum.
Is albatross actually the plural of albatross?
I believe so. I thought it was albatry.
I was thinking albatry to myself.
According to Wikipedia, not the most reliable source, admittedly, it was albatrosses. So there you go. But I am back this week in the anchor chair, in the hosting seat. Glad to have returned from my long and perilous journey.
Where'd you go?
Jefferson Ross hosted last week. We'll get to that in just a moment. Jefferson Ross, great job. I listened to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah. How did it feel?
Just for you.
How did it feel having all the power?
Pretty good. Except no one regular was around to boss around. So
that's true. That's true. So yes, where was I? I was at the annual nasal convention. That's the Nose and Sinus Allergy League, for those of you who aren't in the know. I had to chair a seminar on mildew, in fact. Gave a lecture. It's moldy misconceptions, mildews and don'ts.
Did they run any old Tilex ads from the 80s with Vincent Price?
Yes.
It's alive, ugly mildew.
Yep. Do you have people running around as a scrubbing bubbles?
Yes, we did. To keep the, because, you know, one, you get some mold in the air, we're all going to be wheezing.
Is Mr. Clean there?
No, he wasn't.
Yeah.
Someone should do time.
Someone should explain to him that they have brush in just for men now for the eyebrows, you know.
He's been using the Juice Man juicer.
That's why.
Yeah. Bleached him. But that is the all-knowing, the all-design-knowing voice of Jason White joining us again after, several months stint, I think it's been. But we're glad to have you back on the show.
Thank you for having me back.
I'm surprised you decided to come back on, frankly, but...
No.
You're here, so...
You're a fun group of guys.
We're a fun group.
Guys, that's right. That's guys. Yes.
Guys and girls.
I'm pretty sure Michelle is going to take exception to that.
Well, no, you know what I actually take exception to?
She's in one of those moods.
No, it's not a stint that he's been away. It was an absence.
That's Yappy the Grammar Dog.
Wow. Blythe the Grammar Kitten.
We could call it a hiatus.
A hiatus hernia.
Yeah.
Were you really at a mildew convention?
No.
That seems like something you would go to.
I go to the Nose and Sinus Allergy League convention. We have it every year in Las Vegas because it's in the desert, you know, aren't as many allergies.
did they have a talk about that clean shower stuff where you spray it and walk away? Because I just don't buy that.
I don't either.
I really
how
don't.
How can it like cover? Oh, you're probably talking about the stuff you spray on yourself. But there's like the automated kind, right?
Where the maids come out and they're all scrubbing.
No.
You never see them.
You like hit the button.
Yes.
And it, like.
Well, they show all these maids coming out.
Do they?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Well. I'm just saying, I don't think it fully covers the shower.
I'm pretty sure.
I think that's BS.
And welcome to Shower Chat. Shower Chat.
Shower Chat. You what in the shower, Jeff? Oh, my God.
He likes a good chowder in the shower.
After the commercial break, we'll be discussing lather builders.
Oh, the longest intro ever. Yeah. And we haven't even gotten to our very own Eric Tritko, who's way down at the other end of the table. Eric, high five. Come on. No. Okay. There we go. Okay. Eric Tritko made it from Dearborn, Michigan.
I did.
Barely. Didn't even get to eat.
Well, he probably had to get like 3 tanks of fuel to make the drive.
Something close to that, yes.
And we'll get to that a little later in the program, but little tease. Yeah. How do you like that?
Everybody at home is like, what could cause him to use so much fuel to drive from Dearborn to Levant? You'll find out.
After the boring part of the show. So we've got our usual gang of characters here, plus Jason White. Thank you again for joining us. The theme this week...
Jeff and Michelle are...
Yes, they're here. They're here as well. Both of them.
We're behind the curtain.
Door number 3.
Behind the internet, the curtain of anonymity. It's called the internet. You can chat with your best friends and not even wear pants. And
okay,
they'll never know.
Jeff, I'll be on GChat if you want to connect over there. Do our own show.
Okay.
Yeah. You didn't intro.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
What?
No, you skipped our Skypies.
Well, they jumped in and you listen back. Chat room, back me up here, somebody.
Let's go to the
awkward.
Tape.
Awkward. Michelle Naranjo, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Craig.
And Jeffrey Ross.
How's it going? I feel like you've already talked to me, though.
Yes.
Can we play that backwards and see if there's anything hidden in there as well? Paul is dead. Paul is dead.
Well, our theme this week, to get us back on target, as it were, theme is highfalutin. Got some fancy news stories here that we're going to share with all y'all. So, Michelle, you've got... No, you don't, in fact, because I switched
it. I don't.
Jason has our first news topic, and that is a certain Rolls-Royce.
Yes.
Can you tell us about this? You're the design expert, so that's why we put you on this story. What is going on?
I've been waiting for a while for someone to implement rose gold on an exterior in a way that's well done. And
can it ever... Is it possible to be well done?
No, I think you can do rose gold well if it's in the right... what's the word I'm looking for?
I'm sorry, what's rose gold?
Rose gold is, it's, if you go to the first image on the Autoblog link, it's what's on the grill there. It's kind of a warm, it's not a yellowish gold, it's more of a warm...
It looks like copper.
Red, it looks similar to copper.
But much less down market.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But in this situation,
skepticism.
No, I have a watch that has rose gold in it, and if you pair it with the right materials, it looks really good. But here, it's, you have the typical, not typical, the signature Rolls-Royce metal hood that works down into the lower rocker, and that's just, I'm not sure where I'm supposed to look, unfortunately. But I don't know. What do you guys think of this? There's actually a couple versions. If you go down to the gallery, that I think are. Not all that bad. There's a blue one that looks pretty tasteful.
Well, it's a Rolls-Royce Ghost they started with, basically.
Yeah.
And and it's called the Ghost Diva Edition by Fenice Milano? Felice Navidad? I don't know,
Who
Michelle.
Who are an aftermarket house, I'm assuming.
I would think so. Michelle, you speak Latin languages.
Oh, God, that interior is hideous.
Michelle?
Yeah, the interior is where Michelle? Things really go off the tracks, but... I just can't get past the wheels, I'm afraid. I can deal with the rocker. Being bright, I can deal with the rose gold. I cannot deal with the wheels.
Hmm.
The
way they are pretty.
It's really incongruous with the look of the car.
They are pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't even look real. It looks like an awful Photoshop.
I'm sure it is.
Nobody would buy one of these.
Yeah, no, it's.
A lot of stuff that goes out, you know, for media stuff, you'd be surprised. It's not like they roll the car into a
photo booth
and say, oh, there you go. You know, that's it. No, there's lots and lots and lots of cleaning on that stuff.
Looks pretty gaudy, though, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Oh, Michelle's back. Thank goodness.
I had to move the dog out of the room.
The gold one is really. I expect Scaramanga to be driving the one that's gold and orange. That one's really over the top. Although he drives AMCs all the time.
Hmm.
If anyone's seen that film.
Michelle, what's your stance on this particular car?
It's
there you go.
That says it all right there.
Enough said.
They all look like dubs, right? They all look like some dub edition of something.
Would this be popular in SoCal?
I would imagine with probably some musical artists that use auto-tune.
Artists. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're saying T-Pain.
Yeah.
People who like the pimp lifestyle.
Pimps.
It's a pimped out car.
P-I-M-P.
Yeah. The inside, for me, is where things really, really go off the tracks. It's just... There's just every manner of material in here, and it's just like, oh, come on. Someone needs to put a stoplight in the studio when they get to a certain point.
It's like the inbred Saudi cousins designed that one.
It's just layer upon layer upon layer upon layer of crap.
Of awesome. Yeah. I mean, yeah, crap.
Yeah.
So on a more tasteful note, arguably, Michelle, you have our next story. And this is a little bit retro, a little bit fun.
Well,
one of my favorite
movies
that deals
because with. I love the DeLorean. I love a car that I can take some, steel wool to clean it off. But there's some guys in Italy that are making DeLoreans electric.
Wow.
Of course, we saw that one coming.
I tagged that. This story specifically, so Ben could play that.
Eric, thank you.
See, that's planning ahead. That's a producer talking.
That's a first.
Yeah. First time in 53 weeks.
Ben's on the ball. Actually, he said
once a year, folks.
Story. So what are they doing in Italy with the DeLorean, and why?
Well, they're making them. What I found interesting about this article is that the creators of this electric DeLorean are saying that if they register the car in Italy, it gets registered as a prototype. It's basically impossible for them to make an electric car in Italy legal. Like, it's illegal.
Why is that?
And because of their standards, which is kind of funny because when you think about the Paris Auto Show in the last week and all these electric cars, and I think John kind of touched on that this week, on After Hours was, you know, this problem with putting these electric chargers everywhere. I mean, it does create a lot of headaches, I think. But, yeah, so it's kind of funny that they're doing this and that it is, like, a really big problem because they're really not probably going to go to production.
But, well, it's a 20-something-year-old car. That's a problem, too.
Yeah, well, no, they're not. That's the thing. They're not. They're actually importing these cars from... a guy in Dallas that bought the license to
Mr. Wynn.
New DeLoreans. Yeah. These are new DeLoreans. Mm-hmm. They're not vintage cars, technically.
Or at the very best, they're refurbished DeLoreans. Probably.
He's manufacturing them from scratch, like chocolate chip cookies.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically built the car then as like just a trial. Hey, look what we did. We want to push the electric agenda.
The one thing they talk about in here, which is very true, and as I'm like, I actually made the Gattaca. I pulled a Gattaca reference out of this when I posted this to the WebRidesTV.com blog. Self promotion.
Right, Dvorak. Eric C. Dvorak.
It's bogus. They make a good point of like.
if everyone were to move to electric cars, then you have all these old cars sitting around. And what are you going to do with them? How are you going to dispose of them? Well, if you just dispose of them, that's not really environmentally friendly.
Exactly.
They need to do something to convert them to electric cars. And in the movie Gattaca, everyone was driving around in vintage-type cars, but they were all electric cars at the time. So this actually brings up a pretty cool thing and what could be a really neat aftermarket business down the road when you could have some type of, you know, like plug-in stuff for electric.
Exactly.
Is to convert cars from gasoline to electric when that technology is more available and more affordable.
There's all sorts of FYI of like, you know, how do-it-yourself sites online. Like mm-hmm. how like make mm-hmm. my car electric.com.
Life hacker.
Yeah, but there's also sites where you can make your car run on grass and water too.
You know what, if we ever get to the point where electrics take over, I think they should just take all the old gas burning, diesel burning cars and throw them in the ocean. Artificial reefs. The fish will love it. End of problem. It's so simple. You just throw it away.
You're a genius.
I know.
Or set it on fire.
Wow. Why not? 4th of July comes around every year.
On the subject of Gattaca, I think it's in the same vein, but there's a guy who's entering an Avanti in the X-Prize, and there were a lot of Avantis and.
Yep.
In Gattaca, another, but that and Citroëns are the signature car that you, if you're making a retro future world movie and you want it to look, you know, somewhere in the future or past, but not quite, everyone drives Citroëns and Avantis.
Yeah,
but there's a Avanti that is being made by some guy for the X Prize. And I think that's a perfect car for an electric because anytime you
things Raymond Loewy designed.
And anytime you see it in a movie like Gattaca, it's going by with this like electric sound,
mm-hmm.
like you know. And if you actually see an Avanti up close, it's like it has this really really muscle car like engine, which is totally incongruous with the look of the car. So, Avanti's the right one.
Was the Isetta in Brazil electric?
Which in Brazil?
The movie mm-hmm. Brazil?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the Messerschmitt?
That's right. It was a Messerschmitt.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I think that probably just had a moped motor, but don't quote me on it.
You just lost Craig.
You lost me at hello.
But Eric and I talked about this before we went to air. Okay, does this car have enough juice to get out of its own way? Because we know that the DeLorean is not the leanest of cars on the road.
It's a little husky.
It's a bit husky. It has a few pounds.
It's hit the middle age, really.
Because, yeah, that's the other thing. I would think, you know, is this really aesthetically, yes, this is a car that makes sense, that looks like it could be a futuristic electric car, but is it really built for that?
Yeah. And it has a 90-kilowatt electric motor, which is equivalent of like 120, 121 horsepower, so
I'm kind of going, I don't know. And you bring up a very good point about the batteries, how much they weigh.
A shit ton.
Yeah.
Well, in the Citroën Survolt, which had some press right before the Paris show, the car weighs 2,400 pounds or 2,500 pounds and some change. And half of that weight are the battery packs.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the car is made out of carbon fiber.
See, that's why electrics aren't mm-hmm. the solution. Because you got to lug those gigantic batteries around. Am I right?
It's an issue. And then the other thing is, what do you do with the batteries when you're done with them? That's an environmental issue.
Artificial reef.
I say burn them again.
Jason looks at me with stink eye. Glares
that's
across the
table. Not the first time that's ever happened to you.
That is the one part of the conversation that always gets lost, and it's not talked about enough, is where do the batteries go at the end of their life?
Well, I think I heard a statistic that it takes more energy to recycle lithium than it does to mine new lithium and refine that into a battery.
Yeah, and there have been some expose stories done on nickel tailings, you know, in places where they actually mine the nickel to make
a place
the batteries.
In Canada, they tested
Sudbury.
The moon, the
Sudbury, Ontario.
Yeah, it looks like the moon's surface. They mm-hmm. actually did training there because it's so
The surface is so dead of the surrounding area that it resembles the moon.
Absolutely.
They know where Sudbury is.
So, yeah, very good. Thank you for that, Michelle.
You're so welcome.
For finding it, too, didn't you? You're the one that tagged it, right?
I don't remember.
You can take credit for it. It's okay.
Okay. I did.
Go with it,
great
Michelle.
Great job, Michelle. So I've got our next highfalutin story. and it deals with a certain brand of luxury vehicle that I happen to like quite a bit. It's a new concept advertising campaign that's put out by Audi. They're always very crafty, you know. And apparently, Michelle, they are...
What are they doing?
What are they doing? What are they doing? What are they...
He said apparently.
Apparently, they have an idea to suspend cars from famous bridges around the world. So, they're talking about the Brooklyn Bridge in New York, the Sydney Harbor Bridge, Nash Bridges, the Tower Bridge in London. So they have these rings with the car on a platform, and it kind of just hangs there.
Did Craig just try to make a pop culture reference?
I think he did.
Aw, so cute.
I was like, is Nash Bridges a real place?
Meow. So, yeah.
It won't work, Craigie. I'll tell you why.
Meow.
They're getting ready to rebuild our bridge that goes into the port of Long Beach from Long Beach itself onto Battery Island, because they have this big push in the Long Beach ports to be the most environmentally friendly port in the world, and all the ports are like competing for this thing. The new ships that come in are the green ships are actually taller because of the hybrid technology that's in them, and they're actually having to look at rebuilding a lot of the major port bridges to accommodate them.
Hmm. Well, that's so more height.
The ships would hit these cars.
That would be hilarious.
It would be hilarious.
Yeah.
It would even better if the cars pulled the bridge down.
Awesome. They get snagged on there.
Like a horrific tragedy.
Well, I mean,
hilarious tragedy.
We still remember the Minnesota bridge collapsing. You know, is this really something we want to be doing with our aging bridges right now, hanging four big rings from the underside?
So is this the new Consumer Reports test to get 5-star crash test rating? Will it survive running into a container ship?
That's right.
Or maybe this is the NHTSA's new way of testing bridges.
Yeah. No, they don't test infrastructure. Come on. This is America. It's a pioneer spirit.
We're Americans.
Americans. So is this a good marketing idea, guys? I mean, is this something that would catch your attention?
Cars.
Yeah, it looks like a spaceship.
I mean, all the people that would be looking at it are on the bridge above it, I'm thinking. Aren't all the people you'd want to look at it, like, missing it because it's under the bridge?
But the wealthy yacht owners underneath, now they're getting an eye.
Unless there's, like, some kind of, like, in the main picture that they show, there's, like, a bar or something off to the left.
Yeah, it doesn't work in Cleveland down in the flats.
I don't know. It seems like a dangerous gimmick to me.
The other part of me says, does Audi really need to do something this gimmicky? I mean, the brand's got so much cachet. It comes across as a bit, you know, what's the word I'm
arrogant,
looking for?
Reaching?
It's reaching a bit. It seems a bit...
Don't get me started.
I'm sorry, Jason. We interrupted you. What were you saying about Audi?
It comes across as just a bit insecure. Just a tiny bit. And I'm thinking, they don't need to do that. They don't need to go there.
Their products are great. Yeah.
They have great products. I mean, they sell themselves.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Just unnecessary. Highfalutin unnecessary.
There you go.
Although, Craigie, as an Audi fan, did you hear who's giving the keynote speech at CES this year?
Rupert Stadler.
Josh, the CEO of Audi AG.
Yeah. That's good. That's interesting. And Alan Mulally for the third year, oddly enough. Does Ford even make cars, or are they a technology company? I can't tell the difference.
The Big A. That's what I call him.
The Big A. Alan, if you're listening, we got to have you on Roundabout. Open invitation.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll talk to Scott Monty, and I'll make that happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Sure, guys. I got 4 hours to spare. I'll come right on down to Livonia and help you guys out. But speaking of Ford, Jeffrey, you've got our next story, and it involves their hot-selling compact. That's their B-segment car, the Fiesta. It's getting a little highfalutin, isn't it?
I believe it is, Craig.
Well, what can you tell us about it?
Well, as it turns out, the people buying this entry-level car aren't going for the entry-levelness of it. They are opting for the higher option packages, and according to a report by Bloomberg, the average transaction price is about $18,000, which is $4,000 more than a base car. And that is more than a Corolla, a Civic, and even the Ford Focus, which is much larger, all three of them. And I think it says a lot about the people that are buying the new Fiestas that they're not afraid to buy a small car.
And option it up with several grand worth of extras.
Well, because the Fiesta offers so much, like
it's a good car.
Sink, leather interior, just all this stuff that you can't get on other cars. People are like, I could buy a small car, option it up, and then I'm happy.
Exactly. Now, what do you guys think? Is this because all of the early adopters are rushing out there? They're Fiesta enthusiasts. They've been taken in by the Fiesta movement marketing campaign that Ford did, and they've got their cash in hand, and they're running in there to the dealer. They want the car. They want it loaded. They're plunking their money down. Is that what it is, or is this something that we're going to see continuing, you know, for the next couple of years, long-term with the Fiesta? Or is this just like a flash in the pan?
It could have something to do with the marketing. I think it's interesting that here you have a small car and people are willing to option it up and really trick it out. And I mean, historically, cars in America have been about, you know,
buying by the pound.
Buying by the pound. The bigger it is, the more expensive it is, generally. Mm-hmm. It's much easier to sell a very, you know, optioned up small car in Europe than it is to do that here, at least historically. This is the first time I've heard of a situation where a small car, you know, people are favoring it and, you know, over larger cars and just optioning it up and making the supposition that, okay, if it has more stuff in it, the size of it really doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. That's a really interesting
big
development.
But that was the plan with the car all along, was to and how Ford planned on being profitable was and differentiate is that it wasn't small cars have been crap cars.
Exactly. And they've always been garbage. But
yeah,
this is nice. It's quiet. It drives well.
And I have one next week, so I will find out. That was the whole plan with this thing. And, you know, you hear people, well, who's going to pay $23,000?
Right, no one thought it would work.
Well, yeah. Right. Well, first off, no one's going to pay $23,000 for a Fiesta unless you go through and check every single box, get the dealer undercoating and the mud flaps. Is it going to cost $23,000? But, I mean, anyone with three brain cells that work knew that the average transaction price was going to be close to $18,000 on this car.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, and it seems like everyone's pretty happy with that. And I'm seeing a ton of them running around,
oh, yeah.
So... They're selling well.
The statistic that gets me is that it's... Now, granted, the Civic and the Corolla are getting old. They've been on the market for a few years mm-hmm. now. But it's selling for a higher transaction price than both of those cars, which are very respected for quality, being from Japanese automakers. And they're a class above the Fiesta. They're a C-segment vehicle, where the Fiesta is a B. That is impressive.
There could still be a bit of that effect of, like, with all those recalls that Toyota just had recently, there could be just a little bit of a pall still over those
mm-hmm.
people still, like, kind of, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I think it speaks well for the Fiesta in general and for people's, you know, impressions of small cars. And the stigma is turning.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now,
well,
Michelle,
like,
go ahead, Jeff.
Well, later on in the article, it says that 39% of the Fiesta sold are not the base model. They're the top model, which, you know, I always found that weird too, because you go to all these events and they tell you that usually it's the mid-level trim with a couple option packages that are the high volume models, but it sounds like their top of the line model, which I think is like 17,000 base or something like that, that's their high volume model, it seems right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, Michelle, you were involved with some of the Fiesta stuff and, of course, dealer stuff as well. What is your take on this?
I keep hearing people complain that they're not seeing base Fiestas at dealerships.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. And I read somewhere that it was something like 7% of the cars being sent to dealerships are actual base models, the ones with no air conditioning. I still can't believe anybody makes a car without air conditioning, personally.
Or power windows, come on. Can't be troubled to do this.
It's actually more expensive at this point to put hand crank windows in cars.
Probably
because you know,
I'm being a sarcastic ass.
Well, I think one of the cars I was writing a story on recently, it came standard with power front windows but crank rear windows.
What? That was the Dodge Neon.
That was the Dodge Neon.
Yeah.
But this is a car that's out now. I forget what it was.
So it has power windows in front and then hand crank windows in the back.
It could be like a Tata Nano. It's just a strap that you bring the window up and down with.
Right.
Maybe tie it off around, like you do, you know, your Venetian blinds in your bathroom.
Or it's like a double hung window. It's got the counterweights that go inside. That would be awesome.
We can do that.
I mean, in the scheme of things, when you put this against something like a Versa, which is, of course, incredibly cheap, right? But it's so horrible in terms of safety and features. And, I mean, it's half the price of the Fiesta, of course. And it's trying to compete. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that most people would absolutely go for the Fiesta above it.
Well, it's a highfalutin small car. Clearly.
It is a highfalutin small car.
From a corporate standpoint, this is fantastic because, you know, historically, small cars, if you're building them, you basically have to say to yourself, okay, we're going to take a hit building these because you have to tool up to make a small car the same way you would a very, you know, high-priced luxury car that you get a premium for because that's just the way the plant is, you know. You just accept the fact that you're going to lose money on a small car. But if you're having all these people buy the mm-hmm. optioned out, you know, top of the line one, that changes changes the dynamics of it a bit money wise.
Luke is asking in the chat, is this the next Mini?
No, I mean,
the Countryman came out today at what I thought was a really low price. The pricing starts for the Countryman at like $22,300 or something.
Yeah.
Still don't like it.
Turbo, I think it's could be pretty cool. The turbo four-wheel drive is going to go for like $28,000, $29,000, so. Excuse me, all-wheel drive. But you're always going to pay a premium for a Mini anyway. I mean, if you're buying a Mini, you know that you're paying a premium over
Absolutely.
Everything else. It's because you need the douche factor, but, you know.
Oh, that's nice. Ben.
Jonathan Brown in the chat room is saying that the Fiat 500 should be cool because, you know, he's an eternal Fiesta hater. And I have to say, Mirko sent me pictures of the Fiat 500 convertible that he was in this week. And I think in the back seat, you basically have, if you have children, they cannot have legs.
Same with the Mini. That's useless. A backseat that's useless. I mean, horrendous. But
yeah, we need the Cinquecento. Excuse me, the 500 with the 900cc.
Excuse me, while I switch to English.
I'm so multilingual. Jonathan Brown says children don't need legs. Well, the Pilgrim children did because they had to stand up at dinner time. Jonathan, FYI. All right, so that's a highfalutin small car, all right. But now we're going to talk about a highfalutin big-ass car. And Jason, we turn to you again for this one.
Oh, now that is a gorgeous photo shoot. That's got to be one of the best I've seen in a while.
What are we looking at here listeners?
We're looking at the Maybach Coupe on Autoblog.
And this Coupe?
And this is a really nice shot of the of kind of a front three-quarter with backlighting on the floor. And it's an all-black car with chrome wheels. And that looks really nice.
Is it me, or did they take, like, the back end of a S-Class Mercedes and slap it on there in the Photoshop?
I don't think so, because S-Class Mercedes have those really prominent fender flares with the bevels in them.
And awkward-looking kind
of. And that telltale, here's a Viscom tip. You see that reflection, visual communication. You see the reflection running down the side, and it like takes a turn towards the wheel. And it's nice and smooth, so there's no hard intersection there. So it's not anything from the S-Class.
Yeah. So what,
Craig? If viewers wanted to be able to see what we're talking about here, if we're not painting enough of a visual
audio picture for them.
Exactly. If our mics aren't close enough to the screens here, how can they get that?
Oh, I believe you're probably referring to Jason White's book.
No,
he's not.
Just talking about roundaboutshow.com, perhaps, where we got
the
show notes.
Show notes, yes. What am I talking about? Mark that, Ben.
Craig, maybe you should have another cup of coffee over there and wake up.
It's the best part of waking up.
Folgers in your cup?
Yep, here.
We do great Noroco in our cup.
Noroco!
That's part of waking up is Noroco. No,
hit the show notes, the link in the show notes.
Going through the pics, though, I mean, this car looks very nice in an all-black
He's keeping us on target.
Layout, trying to.
I might be one of the few people, but I've always thought my box looked good.
Well, they're not bad at all. I mean, they
weren't spectacular, but I always thought they looked good. And I like the 62, while it looks like really long because it is, somehow looks better than the 57 to me, because the 57 doesn't really stand out as something mm-hmm. special, where the 62, you know, is like, whoa. You know, so, it looks like a $400,000 car.
I like the convertible one.
What's the purpose of a two-door Maybach, though?
That's what I'm wondering. I'm really wondering who would want a car on the back seat of that.
Because it's going to have a huge back seat, but it's going to be a pain in the ass to get into because of the single door.
All right, how many BMW 6 Series cars have people riding in the back seat?
Zero.
Zero,
but
right.
But the purpose of a Maybach is to have a chauffeur, isn't it?
No, well, the 57, not so much.
I'll tell you what, though, speaking clearly from a stylistic point of view, this has a really nice-looking profile.
Yeah.
You look at the – there are some other images outside of the photo shoot. If you keep advancing, next photo, there's some drawings of the side view. I think these are drawings, yeah, where it's this kind of muted green with silver, and the side view looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really pretty.
What is your take on the Bengal bustle back that, you know, BMW started with the previous, well, two generations ago, 7 Series, that sort of awkward shelf kind of thing on the trunk. And then other automakers picked that up.
No, they did. I think.
Why? It's so awkward looking. You even see it on, like, the Camry, vestigial sort of.
I remember when that first came out and everyone was like, it looks like the trunk's open. You know, it really... It probably wasn't executed the best way possible, but you know, you're right. Like, other manufacturers have come along and bettered that, the look of that that kind of bustle back. It's weird. You'd think that all it would take is one car that doesn't quite do it quite right, and everyone goes, yee, and then there it goes. But it's actually become the norm almost in luxury.
But why?
Cars.
It's awkward. I don't think it looks particularly good.
There's some cars I think that do a pretty good job of it.
Mm.
Not all of them, but there's a few. There's a couple.
Such a controversial issue.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about it?
I was never much of a fan of the Bengal styling. On the Z4, it wasn't bad.
Hmm.
I don't mind the Z4. I think it's a decent-looking car.
Mm-hmm. The new one isn't bad, definitely. Mm-hmm. The current.
Even the one before, I didn't mind. Trying to think. The 7 never worked for me. The 6 was... Yeah.
I did not like the 6.
Yeah.
But hey.
And at least he didn't totally screw up the 3 Series, so...
Yeah. But I'll tell you what. My favorite car... One of my favorite designs is the E46 3 Series, which would have been the previous generation. Went out of production like 05,
is this the one that has the elliptical lamps?
They did have... The later versions had the elliptical mm-hmm. underneath, and the before that they had... circular.
Okay.
But I still think that's a gorgeous car. A chick's car, but a nice looking
child vehicle. Please.
Child please.
A 3 Series BMW is a chick car.
Do you see who drives them, Eric?
Yes. Mostly guys.
Well, they're of the persuasion. Anyway.
I like this car very much.
It is a nice car, and yep. You can hit the link in the show notes on roundaboutshow.com to... look at the photos yourself.
There you go.
Good job, me. I done good. Eric, you've got our next highfalutin story. Highfalutin of sorts. Trying to be highfalutin, maybe. What's going on here?
Well, someone decided that what the old Hyundai Tiburon, whatever of the five pronunciations you'd like, what it really needed was a custom coach-built front end on it. And a badly done one at that.
Yeah, it's there.
So, Galatea? There's no...
Galatea.
Galatea?
Something like that. Close enough.
Why not speak of a Hyundai?
Kimchi.
They call it the revision. I think they need another revision for the revision here.
That's about all you can say about it right there.
Look, I've seen some really bad aftermarket body kits for, like, the tuner boys like to put on it that usually destroy the looks of a car. This makes some of those tuner kit fiberglass deals look good. This thing is...
Well, the question I have, if you're going to do a body kit, great. But why do it on the previous generation Tiburon, of all things?
They probably got it for about $2,000. That's why.
But you're investing all this money in a body kit. It's like, why?
Was the Tiburon a big seller somewhere else besides the U.S.?
I don't know. Maybe. That could be.
And could they at least get a decent-looking model to try and not look bored?
It was probably the guy's, like,
she's
sister.
Leaning against the Hyundai Tiburon.
That's a good point. It's a very good point.
They call her up. Do you need a modeling job? Yeah. What do you got? Well, we got
Hooking's
this red
not
sports
out for
car
me.
Looking thing in front of a nice house. What kind of car is it? A Ferrari? Mercedes?
It's custom.
It's a Hyundai. What was it?
It's the Galliate Revision, Jeff.
I think the car looks like it had a stroke.
I think that might be the same girl that left with the guy in the Abruzzi that I saw this weekend when he told her it was a $1 million prototype for the Viper, and she believed him.
Oh, that's nice. Taking advantage of people.
Yeah, it was awesome. She was really bright.
Well.
Or it's the guy, whoever designed it, that's his girlfriend or something. She's like, please, let's sell this thing
or
so
something.
I can... Yeah. Or something halfway decent.
So, again, you can hit the link in the show notes on our website, roundaboutshow.com. You can check out these pictures for yourself. And you be the jury. You be the jury, okay? Because we're not here to preach to you. We're just here to present you the news. Right, Ben?
That's right, Craig.
Very good. And at this juncture, Ben, I think it is time to take a brief commercial interlude. When we come back...
Sounds like fun.
We're going to get to a double-headed...
I'm excited.
Stupid car trick? No, what is it?
Blind spot, actually?
Yes.
Although a double-headed car trick sounds interesting.
Oh, God. Yeah, that we'll have a two-place blind spot. So you are not going to want to miss that, let me tell you. Stick around. But right now, I would like to talk about audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Are you familiar with this website, Ben?
audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow.
Have you put that into your web browser yet? If not, do so now.
Okay, hold on.
I did, but I put the wrong slash, and I put a backward slash.
Who uses a... Oh, God.
That must be because you're a moron, Jeff.
Oh, that, man.
Everybody uses the wrong slash every now and then.
Well, it's way up here.
We've all done it.
But anyway, I am inviting you, our loyal listeners... to go to the website, audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow, where you can download a free audiobook. Audible has practically 80,000 titles in their library. There's something for everyone. They've got romance. They've got history. They've got fiction, nonfiction. Jason White, your design book may even be on there someday as an audio book.
Narrated by James Earl Jones.
Thank you.
No doubt.
audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. You can download just about anything on the site for free, F-R-E-E, and I invite you to go there now and do that for us.
F-R-E-E, that spells free.
That's right,
Ben. Audiblepodcast.com, roundabout
for me.
For me.
Yeah. All right, so we highlighted a pick of the week this week to emphasize our
automotive,
free offer.
No less.
No less, absolutely. So what we've got here is a title of a book called The Toyota Way, written by Jeffrey Liker? Licker? Something. Narrated by Grover Gardner, and it's all about Toyota and their lean manufacturing processes. Should be a riveting read if you're in the market for learning about manufacturing processes.
Well, we thought we'd go...
Is it a comedy?
That's funny there, Michelle.
It's a musical.
The 14 steps to efficient production.
Garland.
What?
Judy Garland.
Yes. So, Ben, they've got a little scrambler there for us you can play.
Oh, this is bound to be riveting. We're playing this just to illustrate.
Whet your
there's,
appetite.
There's something for everyone. So, all right. Well, let's give it a try.
Chapter 1. The Toyota Way.
Here we
using
go.
Using operational excellence as a strategic weapon.
Sounds like a war novel.
Toyota first caught the world's attention in the 1980s, when it became clear that there was something special about Japanese quality and efficiency. Japanese cars were lasting longer than American cars and required much less repair. And by the 1990s, it became apparent that there was something even more special about Toyota compared to other automakers in Japan.
Is this an actual VO guy, or is this a robot?
This is Grover Gardner. He read a book that I recommended a couple of months ago, Whirlwind, The Air War Against Japan, which I invite you to check out on audiblepodcast.com/roundabout.
Oh, yeah, we obviously all listened to him.
So obviously the Apple reading voices are getting better and better.
Yeah, yeah. I was waiting for David Hasselhoff to say, Kit, give me a scan of the area. Right away, Michael.
So
obviously the Toyota way might not be for everyone, but there is something for everyone.
If Harry Potter doesn't float your boat.
This doesn't have to be your free book. There's lots of free books on here. So
nearly 80,000 free books, in fact.
That's quite a few.
Just so long as you go to the website, audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow.
That's a lot of books.
Yes, it is, Eric. And you sign up for your free trial. Please do it for us.
Audible Podcast.
So after you do that, can we get the United States of Toyota on audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow?
Was that a Peter DiLorenzo?
That would be a Peter DiLorenzo production.
Read by the author.
Peter DiLorenzo.
The United States of Toyota.
So again, I invite you to sign up for a free 14-day trial. Get your free audiobook today. Again, the website is audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Do it for us, please.
No, if you want to support us, do something for yourself.
Give us some support.
Exactly.
We're flopping around here. Maybe not me.
Be our metaphorical bra.
Brazier, yeah.
We're not here for your entertainment, folks.
That's right.
I hope we are, but...
Oh, wait. Actually...
What?
I'm fine. So, moving right along, it is time...
Can we?
Yes. Can I finish? What the hell is that?
Well,
when news topics go unnoticed, an underreported, otherwise fall through, they land on a blind spot. This week, I have a blind spot. Double header.
I think I hit fast forward.
I think you did something. Did I just lose 2 hours of time? I did a time warp here. Whew. Well.
I think Ben's tickled.
Wow.
He's tickled pink, Michelle. So we've got a doubleheader blind spot here. We've got two videos. Two videos.
For the Price Audio Podcast.
So again, we're going to have to invite you to visit our website, roundaboutshow.com. Click on the show link in the show notes. You can watch these yourself. So the first one we've got, we're not going to play all of these. They're pretty long. Not really. 3 or 4 minutes, but we're not going to play them all. There was an art car that was out at a store called Planet K. And what state was this in, Ben?
Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas.
That's right.
K-View.
K-View.
K-V-U.
No, K-View.
Michelle, you're a Texan. Does this get your blood boiling?
Well, we have these in Long Beach, too. There's a sculpture that's in sort of downtown area that's a car sculpture. They've been spending like hundreds of thousands of dollars for all this public art at bus stops, which I don't know is the best use of the money.
But
of our fire stations are shut down
right
now.
I like saving the money.
Well, what's the problem here? So this store, this place has an art car. They're using it as a cactus planter. It's an old car. They've painted it. There are no wheels on it. It's full of cacti growing. And now the city wants to remove it because they have an ordinance, I guess, against junk cars sitting around. That sounds like bullpucky to me.
I gotta say, this looks like something I'd find in Michelle's backyard.
Neck of the woods.
Yeah,
hippies,
it is hippies. Something you'd find in my backyard, and it's not very nice looking. I can amend it with that. I mean, I have planters that are made out of old hot water heaters. Shut up!
Well, it's better than a toilet seat sitting, or an old toilet sitting in the front yard.
I have a question, Michelle. Why does hot water need to be heated?
That's what they're called. They're called hot water heaters, aren't they?
That's nothing Craig will understand for another 30 or 40 years till he, you know, inherits his parents' house when they die.
What, are you killing them?
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. So, Michelle, if somebody carted off your arted up water heater, what you'd be madder than an armadillo in a rainstorm, I bet.
Well, I think the difference here is that it's in a in a front visible area, in this case, where my hot water heaters are actually in my backyard, which is not considered to be part of zoning procedures.
So you can do whatever you want. You could have a rally back there of some sort.
Right. Mm. Austin is kind of, I'm sure it's probably a lot like my little historic neighborhood. If they don't like something, then they definitely can enforce it if it's visible from the street. So it is kind of, it's funny, but
ridiculous.
It's not really well done.
Big government.
Well, can you believe this crappy car almost went all the way to the Supreme Court, or they tried to, but the court rejected its case? That's what's a little shocking.
They even took the time to reject it, though.
Yeah.
That's doubly sad.
Well, otherwise it would go on the docket, so they at least had to, it got up, it got pushed up there. They said, nope.
Goodbye. Nope. So again, go to our website, roundaboutshow.com. You can watch the little news package they've got there. Interesting little story. Let us know what you think in the comments section of the site as well, or on Twitter. Right, Ben?
That's right, Craig.
Do we have comments?
We have comments.
We have plenty of comments.
From Mr. Stewart.
And Luke.
Our
fans.
What's that, Michelle?
Our fans.
Our fan, exactly. But we promised you a double-headed blind spot. We're going to start the other one right now. It's a video we've got here. And I guess this older gentleman in, Anchorage, Alaska? He went and took an old Mazda pickup truck, a 1976 Mazda truck, and he turned it into, drumroll, Ben,
a radio flyer.
Which
How
is?
How can radios fly? That's what I want to know.
That kid's got a really cool mohawk there. It was red.
Somebody needs to shave that kid's head.
It was red.
Punch him in the throat.
Jeff, you are angry today.
It's all that marriage you've been living with. Seems like.
Wow, he even got the little red caps on the wheels that There's fall a... off when you when you turn a corner too sharply.
So basically, a guy took an old pickup, the Mazda, and turned it into a gigantic radio flyer wagon. This is somebody's golden years. They've got too much money and too much time on their hands, I think.
Wow.
Desperate.
That's the first thing I thought is how much time these people in Alaska might have to...
Well, you know, in the summer, it's bright light out for 24 hours a day or something, isn't it? Lots of daylight.
Pretty close.
Nothing else to do.
It looks as if the hood of the car is trimmed in like red pile carpeting.
Yeah,
it's like a boat carpet.
Nice.
That can't
be so creepy. I would almost expect someone to be like dressed up in like a little girl's outfit running around in that.
I'm surprised.
With a big lollipop.
Yes.
Well, nowadays they've got all the. Have you seen some of the radio flyers around? They've got umbrellas for them. They've got off-road wheels for them. Suspensions.
It's a freaking wagon. Jeez.
Go out to the Henry Ford sometime. They have
like little battery-powered refrigerators underneath. I see them here in California all the time.
It keeps your high C nice and cold.
I wonder what NHTSA would have to say about driving down the road with that big handle in the way.
I know. Elephantine proboscis sticking up in the air.
Yeah.
It's going to be at the Supreme Court in no time. I'm telling you.
You know,
it's a tow hook.
You know, maybe he's trying to be like the Back to the Future, touch some electrical wires.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we've outfitted
the
time vehicle with this big pole and hook. Which runs down.
How can that be street legal?
Because it's still registered as a Mazda pickup truck, and unless you have to go through some type of safety thing like you do in like New York, New Jersey, or some other states, what the hell do they know?
It is determined by the state, right? At the state level.
It's state by state.
That explains
like in
how...
Michigan, you wouldn't have any problem driving that on the street because it doesn't violate any, you know.
They let cars roll down the street that are like canted to one side 30 degrees and belching smoke. And so
they call those city cars.
Yes.
So, yeah, again, swing by our website. Hit the link in the show notes. You can watch both of these lighthearted and charming news packages.
Quite
highfalutin. All the money he squandered on that radio flyer.
Certainly more exciting than my average day.
And with that, it is now the moment you have all been waiting for. Ben.
What moment?
Play the sound effect.
Which one? Oh, this one?
And oh, that crap.
When cars go unnoticed or underreported or otherwise, oh.
Wrong one.
Now, it's time for our In the Garage segment, and we've had quite a diverse lineup of vehicles this week. Ben, we're going to start with you again.
We are?
Yes, you were in. You don't think you're getting out of it.
I'm trying to produce a podcast.
You
here,
were
Mr.
driving the Lincoln MKZ
you
Hybrid.
You doing what, Ben?
You were driving Lincoln MKZ Hybrid.
Yeah, I drove it briefly.
Just one night, but instant impression thoughts, real quick. What's your take on it?
I was hoping it'd be easier to keep in EV mode.
Mm.
I was in stop-and-go traffic this morning as I delivered our tape to PBS, and you would have thought that would be, like, the perfect situation to keep it in EV mode. It's not.
The Ford hybrid systems, at least seems like everyone's experience is, you don't try to use it from zero to whatever. You get up to speed, you let off the gas, it goes into electric, and then you modulate the pedal. Yeah. Like, what do they call it?
Thrust and go.
Pulse and glide. Pulse and glide. That's pulse what it is. Glide. Pulse and glide. That's the key to maximizing those things. So.
Yeah.
His name was Robert Paulson.
How did we... Maybe I'm missing something, but how did we go to Fight Club suddenly with that?
Pulse and glide.
Wow.
I stretch sometimes.
Before working out.
Limber your back up. But I have to say, I really enjoy the interface. And it's the same one that's on the Ford...
Fusion?
Fusion.
Was it the same car?
Basically.
Yeah. I'm kidding.
Oh, sorry.
Well, you're right.
You're the listener's voice, Jeff. Is that the same car? Why, yes, it is. Yeah, so it like tells you when you're in EV mode. It like shows a little range on the whatever.
And the leaves grow on the tree.
Yeah.
So how did it drive? Real quick. What?
Fine.
Mediocre. It's a hybrid.
Right. Yeah.
What fun is that?
It'll get 40 on the highway.
Hybrids are gay.
Jesus. Jeff and I were talking about this morning, or I was talking about it at Jeff, and he was listening.
Pretending to listen, like we're doing
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, he pretends to listen to me sometimes.
Sorry. I thought I was listening to Roseanne.
They sold something like 11,000 Priuses in September, and they sold 600 hybrid Civics. Which, how could an MKZ, is anybody really going to buy? I think people want to buy a car that looks like a hybrid.
See, I have the opposite. No, I have the opposite thing. Well, you are the
auto contrarian.
Yes. Well, there is the douchebag factor, which says, look at me, look at me, I'm driving a hybrid.
11,000 as opposed to 600 sales is a little bit of a difference.
Well, yeah, but you forget that the Honda hybrid system is crap. And especially compared to the Toyota, the mileage difference isn't that much, and they charge like a $4,000 premium, so that's part of it. Where at least with the Fusion Hybrid, you actually do get yes, there's a premium, but there is an actual mileage factor in there as well.
Well, there is no premium on the MKZ Hybrid.
That's true. That's right, Jeff.
So will they sell better?
You know, it should sell just as many.
as what?
That's a way to artificially bump up your hybrid sales, right? Is just to price it the same as the V6. So why would you get the V6 at 25% or 30% less mileage when you can get the hybrid and get better mileage at the same price?
And give up all that performance.
No one's buying a MKZ performance.
Number one autocross car, Eric. Sure. Come on. Anyway. On a more exciting note,
in your world,
Jeffrey, you were in a pretty striking vehicle this week. What is it, and how do you like it?
A 2002 Ford Focus?
I don't think you have that much class. This may be the highfalutin episode, but just hold short right there, Jeff. It's not crossing the line.
It was the Cadillac CTS Coupe.
Nice.
Coupe.
Hmm.
And my favorite part of it was it wasn't in silver. It was in maroon or some reddish color. Because every CTS I ever see is in red or silver.
Well, you are in Florida, the hot state. So maybe the lighter color is what helps. I don't know. The coupe, but, how'd you like it?
It was, it's a very good car. It gets a lot of attention. I was at the Publix yesterday, and I came out, and like three people were standing around it. And it's just very flashy.
That's a grocery store, right?
Publix?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You guys, does anybody else have them?
Mm-mm. I saw one in Atlanta for the first time. I had no idea what they were.
It's like the Piggly Wiggly.
No, it's like the fancy version of Piggly Wiggly.
But it sounds so generic, Publix.
No, but they have the best produce.
Hmm. So CTS Coupe, likes, dislikes?
I drove one a few weeks ago, the CTS V Coupe.
Shut up.
How am I supposed to talk when you tell me to shut up?
Oh.
I drove it at the road course in South Florida, and it was a lot of fun. And this is, you know, not as powerful as that car is, but it feels about the same while you're driving it. And I'm guessing that's what most people are going to do. I don't think a lot of people will be taking it to the track, which is a shame.
Well, yeah, I mean, the V6, what, 304 horsepower or something like that, as I recall? Yeah. That's all you need on the street, geez. I mean, you can't use the power of the V series, really. I mean, it's too much. Just get tickets.
It's
right,
never
Ben?
Too much.
That's right, Craig.
Okay.
When we do the auto gadget, I have a story for you.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. But how do you like the design, Jeff? You said you had a lot of people looking at it. What is your take on the design?
I don't really like the back end, really. I mm-hmm. don't know why. Something about just the taillights.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite of the CTS vehicles right now is the wagon. But this is too bulky, I think.
It almost looks like a hatchback from the rear three-quarter.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it does look like... You know how they used to do those Civics, the CRXs, that had the little tiny window below the trunk line?
Mm-hmm.
I almost, when I'm looking at that view in particular that's up right now, I almost want to put a little window in there to...
For visibility.
That's what I was going to ask you. The chat room is really wondering, like, which is worse, the Cooper, the Camaro, and how was the rear visibility? That's the one thing they're asking right now.
Compared to the Camaro, it's better. Like, this is the only problem I had in the CTS Coupe is backing it up. Like, I have to back it into my garage or else I'll tear off the front fascia. So when I'm backing it in, going straight back is kind of hard, but it does come standard with a backup camera.
Oh, okay.
The Camaro, it's hard to see, you know, from just about any angle other than forward.
Yeah.
They get a little tank slit to see through.
It is like looking out of a tank. You need a periscope to look out of the...
What's your take on the design, Jason? Do you like it? You don't like it?
I agree that proportionally something looks a bit off in the back. But then again, with that particular shot, it's kind of a fisheye shot, and it probably isn't most flattering.
Gives it a little too much Kardashian in the back.
A little bit too much. I'm guessing that particular shot's not as flattering as others could be. The profile.
That's
looks,
what I tell people when they.
The having said that, the profile looks quite striking, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And not bad for a car that you know.
It's been around.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't this use the front end from another version of the CTS?
Oh, it's the same front end.
It's the same front end, but for a car that... Sorry, go ahead. Am I correct or am I incorrect?
I was told that everything is unique on it.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah, even the windshield and everything.
I find that hard to believe, but
yeah, because
could be the case.
If I were just looking at it just cold, my first impression is, well, it's they took the CTS front end and then did this new back end for it. And considering that, if that's actually what happened... It looks pretty good in a profile because usually when you start with that, you have really mediocre results. But but you're telling me it's completely new from the ground up.
I know like they made a point when we were in the V, whatever they call it. They were talking about how the windshield was like back 2 degrees, and I think they said the hood was more aerodynamic.
JB in the chat, Jonathan Brown, says 4 extra degrees in the windshield.
Okay.
So they must have just canted it back. Probably the same car up to the firewall and then
then I would wonder, is the front clip brought over from the...
I would imagine. It looked... We had one in here the other day. It looked the
Jonathan
same.
Jonathan Brown says the front clip is the same as the
okay,
sedan.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, Eric, you were in something on the opposite end of the spectrum, and you're still in it right now.
Yes.
And we alluded to this at the beginning of the show.
Yes.
What are you driving?
I am driving a 2010 Ford Raptor 6.2.
Nice.
And it is a 30-gallon bucket of awesome sauce.
What aisle is awesome sauce in?
I don't know, but it
they only sell it at Publix.
Right? Yeah, right. This is not something you could get at the Whole Foods, because they would probably ban you from the Whole Foods if you pulled up in this.
If you're looking to enlarge your carbon footprint.
Jeff's list of the top 10 cars for men.
What's that?
Jeff has his top 10 list of cars for men that he hasn't published.
Nah.
I haven't written it yet.
Nah, that's why it's not published.
Aside from the Raptor, I can't really think of anything else.
It's a very...
It's like the top 10 spots.
It's a great truck. I went out on some, not off-roading kind of thing, but drove it through
this...
You
don't have any.
Well, we do, but it just, you got to go up in the cow territory where you live, Craig. But I drove it through a field today, going through a park in Detroit to go to the Thunderdrome, and it handled it pretty well. I got to use most of the 12 inches of travel in a couple spots. Rides really nice on the highway. The surprising thing is you're driving on the highway, and you look down, and you're like, holy bleep, I'm going 90 miles an hour, and it does it with zero effort. 6.2's got a crap ton of torque. Drives nice. The only issue with it is it's a bit wide, and by a bit wide meaning I have
it has chair hips.
Yeah, just a little bit. My driveway in my house is, you know, like one car wide kind of thing, and the tires on both sides just creep over the edge of it a little bit. In fact, for me to get it in between up farther in the house, because I have in an old neighborhood and a bunch of 20s bungalows. The right side mirror is about an inch from the house, and that means I can open the driver's door, just enough for me to kind of slide out of it. That's how wide this thing is. But it's almost 47 grand, although actually the 2011 might be a little less because they're changing the pricing on it a little bit, a couple grand or grand or two.
Mm-hmm.
If I had the money... I would buy one, although I think this would be perfect with an EcoBoost motor, because the only downside is the mileage. Yeah. The mileage is so good that on the Monroney sticker it says...
Not rated.
Yeah, exactly. It says not rated.
It's so bad, we don't have to tell you how
exactly,
bad it is.
Exactly. So,
in fact, it doesn't even burn the fuel. It compresses it and shoots it out the tailpipe.
It's a pulse jet motor.
Exactly.
No,
how do you like the engine? Because that's brand new.
Yeah, the 6.2 is a really, really good motor. You get on, and it cruises nice, and it's relatively quiet, but you jump on it, and you can tell it's got really good torque to it. It just jumps up and goes. And the best thing is everywhere I've driven it in the few days I've had it, everyone's just like, oh, such a cool truck. I mean, kids love it. Adults love it. The only people who don't love it are environmental weenies. So,
yeah. If you're looking to increase your carbon footprint, there's probably no better way.
Oh, sure. There, I could get a Lamborghini. That'd probably increase it a little more.
But this is so...
But this would be...
I would be interested to see how it actually does. Every time I see it, people are, like, taking it through the desert. And, you know, growing up in Michigan, the trails are just narrow two tracks with deep water that, you know, most of it, you got to go slow. I'd be interested to see how it would do in that situation.
It's a high-speed off-road.
I wish I had it for a little longer. It's an SVT vehicle, so they're limiting it to just a few days. So, But if I had it for a few more, you know, then this weekend's all booked for me. Otherwise, I might head up north just to try and find some.
There's no
fire
such thing as being
something.
Booked when you have a Raptor in your driveway, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Man up.
I mean, Emily
was considering the
Raptor and to race, and she's pursuing. The Ranger, actually, because the Raptor is actually too long of a wheelbase.
By the way, the new world, I've seen, because everyone talks about it, the new world Ranger, the Ranger that's going into the rest of the world except for us, I've seen four of them running around in Dearborn in the past 2 weeks, and yes, that is a much larger vehicle. It is about the size of the current Dakota, so just in case, just so everyone knows. But anyways.
We'll have to check it out after the show.
Yep.
Ben's getting pissed at me for playing with the camera.
Craig's barred.
And with that, let's move on to today's Auto Gadget. Musical stick. There we go.
Rock out.
With your...
Charles and out.
Charles and out.
Someone's phone's ringing.
All right, Ben, you found this little kickshaw of an auto gadget to share this week, and it's called Glimpse.
Yeah, it's not a gadget so much as it is a new web service, and pretty cool. I think kind of limited uses at this point, but essentially what it is it takes advantage of the GPS in your smartphone, either your, at this point, iPhone, Android phone, or Windows mobile phone, and more to come. And it will send out a link to persons whom you choose. So, you know, the perfect use case I can see for this is...
Stalking.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Sally's going out on her first date, and mom and dad say, all right, but turn Glimpse on your iPhone. And they can then look at a map. Sally emails her parents the Glimpse link. They look at a map and they can see where Sally is at all points.
Because teenage kids always do what their parents
say.
Oh,
yeah. They always keep their cell phone on.
And they wouldn't give their cell phone to their friend to go where they said they were going to go. And then, yeah.
They won't leave it at Johnny's house and then go to the mall, right? So...
They won't stop at the bus station and put it on a bus to New Orleans. And
Michelle is the only one here with a teenage child. What do you think?
Would it work?
Well, I mean, it's funny because it's one of those things that I think would be great if, you know, what is the Ford technology? My Key that they are promoting for, you know, underage drivers, or not underage drivers, but of-age drivers that are underage legally, for parents to be able to monitor them. This seems like something that would be really useful integrated into that. I know that this is a fine line, because when Ben has been using Glimpse this week, I've had various people say to me, like, that's so creepy. Like, how can he do that? He's going to his house. Everybody's going to know where he's going.
But only those who he sends the link to.
Right. You can send it off. You can send it to Twitter, which I've done every time.
Right.
I've sent it to Twitter.
You send it on Twitter and Facebook.
Right.
And he's been wearing his anti-rape chastity belt, so.
But we have to remember that, like, you know, Ben's got, like, 90 friends on Facebook and probably about the same on Twitter. I mean, and I'm just saying, like, there's...
That's nice.
You
essentially.
You probably know most of the... No, there's probably a low probability that any of those people either you don't know or they're not Paula Deen. Right?
Yes.
Because he follows Paula Deen on Twitter, y'all.
Thanks.
Come on.
Well, she's got some interesting tweets. She warned me about fake cookware
don't
that's carrying her
butter.
Name.
That's something. Well... So yes, great for stalking people.
No, but it's cool. So,
stalking,
and by the way, it's Glimpse with a Y.
It's spelled like Glimpsey.
As all of these things have to be, not Glimpsey.
And this would have been awesome for our Great American Roundabout.
That's what I. That's immediate. My immediate reaction. Yeah.
It's
as long as we had cell phone coverage.
It's Gypsy
with
an L.
Like the spot tracker sucked, right?
Yeah, kind of. Because
we'll have to do another roundabout trip.
Yeah, I mean, what can we do? Yeah. Got to use Glimpse. You know, there are a couple features I would like to see in the future. Well, first let me say, it's got a full map. You know, it utilizes Google Maps. You can view it in map mode. You can view it in satellite mode. You can zoom up. You can view it, like, in travel mode, like, you know, GPS, where you know, north isn't always north. Obviously, it just follows the arrow. It's pretty cool. You can see the person's speed. It actually shows them slowing down.
The color of underwear they're wearing right now.
Exactly.
Blood type, social security.
One of the features I would like, however, is when you're finished, you can see 15 minutes of your track, but that's it. Just the last 15 minutes.
Hmm.
While it's still going, you can see the whole track the person did. But it does expire. You set an expire time, so you set 15 minutes up to 4 hours. So, and then you can add time in 15-minute increments. So that's what we would have had to do on the 24-hour drive to Yellowstone.
So, you mean 34-hour?
Well, 24-hour around-the-clock drive. Yes. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
That was 32 hours.
34. Agree to disagree. So, yep, Glimpse, that's Gypsy with an L-Y.
But I said I had a very embarrassing story. Well, I indicated that I
might. Okay, well, we're not running terribly over time. So.
Well, I'll get to it quick. And if you don't mock me, then we'll be fine.
I will just...
As Michelle knows, when Ben's testing new media technologies, he has a tendency to break the law. Remember Open Line? It was one of our first episodes of Open Line, and I was on the call with you guys driving home from the studios, and I got pulled over.
By whom?
Police.
Oh.
Well, I was testing Glimpse out the other night, and I thought, boy, you can see my speed and everything. Wouldn't it be cool if I went 90 on the highway, and we'll see how much it speeds up. Well, I got pulled over while using Glimpse.
And distracted driving. Did you get talk your way out of it, Ben?
Oh, no.
We're going to start. I'm going to go get some stickers, some like swastika stickers or something like an old, like a fighter plane from World War II. You can start putting your kills on the door.
Ben will be taking a driver safety course in the next couple of months to get rid of the points
Bowman.
On his license.
Pulling a Bowman.
It's ridiculous. So
there are laws, Ben. You bitch at me for... You drive so slow,
Craig. I know.
Banana.
I've been in the car with you guys. And you know what's really funny? Is that Craig sits there and goes like, oh yeah, Ben, you drive so fast. What actually is happening when Craig is in the car is Craig is sitting there going, Ben, go faster, go faster. And Ben does it.
Craig is not even there, Michelle. Don't be making up facts again.
You did that on the trip. It was funny.
What?
It was funny.
It was funny.
It was funny.
Dun, 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 dun.
It's mine, all mine. So Glimpse.
That's Glimpse.
Gypsy with an L-Y.
Glimpse, GLYMPSE.
Gypsy with an L-Y.
.com. Check it out.
Very good. And brace yourself. It's time for Stupid Car Trick.
We have a sound bite over there.
Yeah, it's taking like 5 minutes.
Go get his phone now.
Yet another video for you folks this week for our audio podcast. Ben, I believe you found this on the Twitter.
No. Why do you make this stuff up? You just like, let's see, Ben found it on Twitter. Let's just, you know.
Because I don't actually know the answer.
You got to dial, I see it right there. You got to dial your spin.
What do we have here, guys?
And this is, Michelle got this story. No, wait, it was Ben. No, wait.
Yeah, was it me?
No, I found this on Street Fire and, what is it, Craig?
People being stupid, but it's funny. At least I'm not there to get injured by it.
It would have been better if someone got hurt.
Would it have been better or funnier? That's a tough call. But so basically what they've got looks like an old Dodge Stratus up on a hoist.
Or a Plymouth Breeze.
Or a Chrysler Cirrus. Any way you slice it. But they've got it up in the air, and what, they're running the engine, and they got their foot on the brake pedal, and it's spinning the brake rotor and heating it up.
Obviously, no brake override.
And predictably, the rotor is glowing and emitting showers of sparks. It's showering the ground with affection.
My favorite part is after the first big explosion, the guy says, do we have a fire extinguisher?
Yes. when smoke starts erupting from the brake caliper. Do we have a fire extinguisher?
It would be super cool if we did.
Not a family-friendly video.
Wow.
I can feel the heat from you. Fire!
It's like the Universal Studios ride.
Is this a Tales from the South kind of video?
Revving up high. High as we are right now.
This is just proof that Darwin was right.
There we go.
How much Bud Light went into the production of this?
Natural selection. It's only natural.
Four of them have been sterilized following the explosion. The rotor basically, I guess it explodes? It doesn't look like it comes off the hub, but maybe the pad
came off, like the part that attaches.
Did it? Look at the glowing pieces on the floor there. Jeez. Wow.
What I'm guessing happened is the rotor got so hot it separated, and since the part that hits the brake pads is locked in place by the caliper, the center part that holds the rotor on was the part that flew off.
Jeez.
Good grief.
Do you think that rotor is warped, Jeff?
We don't have a brake turning.
I'll get a spectrometer readout on it.
We don't have a brake turning machine here at this brake shop, so this is how we're
friction polishing.
Yeah,
them.
We're friction polishing them brake motors.
Oh, rotors.
I
know
it
drums.
Is a breeze because it's got hubcaps.
Okay, down market then. So another video. It's pretty hilarious. Check it out. Roundaboutshow.com. Hit the link in the show notes. Ben. Next segment.
Roseanne, what are you cackling at?
At Jonathan Brown in the chat room said, did they go home and bang a pig in the yard afterward?
Oh, man.
Mark that.
Only if a pig is his wife, probably.
Well, do you know why rednecks like Halloween so much?
Oh, mark it, Ben. He hasn't said it yet, but mark it. Go ahead, Jeff.
Because they get the pumpkin.
What?
Oh, God.
Okay.
Well, next segment.
Good. I think it's time for a bit of highway music.
Highway hearsay. Tales from the open road.
Charles and out. I'm watching myself. Charles. Eric, can you Charles?
Charles out for the audience. Come on.
I don't have that ability.
You don't have that ability to shake violently from side to side? That's easy.
We'll speed that up in post.
Ben, Charles out. Come on.
As we're a video cast.
I don't even know if I'm...
We've just dialed Skype.
We've got to call our highway hearsayer.
No.
Highway hearsay is all about what we've seen out on the road, from weird sightings to the stupid things people do. And we've got our very own Rich Henyon joining us via Skype right now because he had quite an interesting... highway hearsay to share with us. Quite an eventful day a couple weeks back. If you don't know Rich, he does the voice of our Mr. Stewart in our commercial. So, Rich, thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome, Craig.
You didn't have to join us. You sound pretty displeased.
Yeah, hope we're not inconveniencing
you.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. Just, you know, want to get at it because I know everybody doesn't want me to take forever.
Well,
Archie Bunker,
you're enjoying your day. Everything's going your way, and along comes Debbie Downer.
He's the world's oldest emo kid.
I know.
So, Rich, you had an entire day of auto themed mishaps, correct?
That is indeed correct, or rather, that's right, Craig.
Why don't you start us off and walk us through the day? What happened? And why is it so unbelievable?
Going back to last month, it was on the 13th. I made my way out to school in the morning, and I'm going up 302, and I'm just about to the Columbia Airport.
Which you live in South Carolina, just if the listeners
are curious. That is very correct.
Sir.
I live nowhere than Craig does, by the way. Anyhow, I'm getting up to the intersection prior to the airport turnoff I needed to take to school. And there was an accident, and I figured, I'll probably have to mention this later at some point. But it got particularly interesting when I noticed it was an accident involving midgets.
Little people.
So that sausage seemed fingers. A little unusual to me, and the day progressed from there. So I made my way to school, and I ended up getting on my first class, drove around over to the other side. I went and switched my sunglasses for my regular glasses, stepped out of the car, shut the door, and I go, I didn't pull the keys out of the ignition, did I?
You locked your keys out of your car again?
Yeah, I did.
Actually, that would be locking your keys in your car.
Good catch, Jeff.
You locked yourself out of your car.
I heard that, Craig. I just wanted to, carry on. Anyway.
Can I interject here really quick? What kind of accidents do little people have?
Incontinence issues.
Well, they were driving an SUV, actually, Jeff. So,
Rich, you should have interviewed
them.
Was
it anything special or just like a bunch of midgets running around an accident scene?
Well, there was the two cars sitting in the turn lane there, and I kind of look over. I go, okay, there's the people who were going this way that got hit. I look at the people going back south, and I go, oh, it's midgets. That's not expected.
Or children.
I would laugh if I got hit by a midget.
I'd be curious to see what kind of, because I assume they would have to be some kind of special apparatus in the car for accelerating and braking. I'm not familiar with, you know, special setups for.
You mean building blocks, Jason?
No, not building blocks. It's just some.
I
kind
was
of,
sitting on my phone book.
Hack off a couple pieces of 4x4, glue them together.
I would
presto
figure they
change-o.
Would have some sort
I'm
of,
a normal height.
Okay, so a cadre of little people were involved in a crash.
So there was the accident, yes. And then I got to school and ended up locking my keys in my car, which wasn't a big deal because Mom happened to be out that way, so she Mommy. Came over and unlocked me. Yeah. But anyway, I get done with work at the end of the day, and I'm making my way home. I come up the I happen to take the earlier exit by accident. And then I managed to go and blow my tire and hit the curb, which bent a small portion of the rim, which made it thereby useless. But that's I'll get to that later. So I pulled over. I figured, not a big deal. I got my spare. I'll get the jack out. I'll fix it myself. Just go home, you know, whatever.
Be on
well,
my
course,
way.
I was just about to switch the spare on, and the jack decided to fail.
How did it fail, Rich? That does not sound good.
Well, the of course, because it's just that little sort of generic black car jack that
piece
fits in by the where the spare goes. And I guess it just didn't like the fact it wasn't sitting on exactly flat ground. And so it had a little too much weight on it, and it just bent the bottom plating that's like the stand, if you will.
So the car,
so,
like, fell?
Of course, it toppled down and managed not to destroy the rotor or anything, thank God.
Like our video, our stupid car trick.
The car on fire.
Well, that's very lucky that it didn't just boom collapse. It kind of just like what eased down almost. Just
yes, cause it was terribly shocking because I see I turn I just picked up my donut. I turn around, I look at it, I go, it's not going to hold the extra 30 seconds I need to slip this on, is it? And it goes boom. It just sat down. I'm like, I couldn't have like laid it down if I just let it ease down with an actually good jack.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good thing at least. So you're on the side of the road now.
And
helpless.
Of course, to add to that, my phone had died, and luckily the cop called the tow truck for me, so he just slid the, you know, he had the big tow truck with the bed on it. He slid the bed down, got it down under the front, popped it up, and popped my spare on. So that wasn't a big deal. And I get my way going home, and then I start hearing a slight sort of wobbly thudding noise.
You'd,
and I very well
lefty tighty, righty loosey, right? Put those lug nuts on.
The
a wobbly thuddy noise sounds not good.
So I just gave up at that part, and I say, well, I guess I'll just hopefully catch somebody here. I was still 7 to 8 miles away from home, and I start walking across the street. I go, I'll go to this guy's house, you know, because he's home. As soon as I start walking over, he backs out and just drives right past me. I was like, well, that worked out perfectly.
You probably thought you were a Jehovah's Witness trying to, or some door-to-door marketer, something. Yeah.
But, census taker. Oh, wait, that's already over with. Yeah. Never mind.
Okay. So, just after that guy drives by, somebody pulls up in an SUV. This nice older guy who would be a mix between Santa Claus and Charlie Daniels.
So, bearded. But bearded.
Yeah. And he said, oh,
bearded
you need
drunk
a
drunk who likes to play with kids.
More on that later.
I'm getting there, says Rich.
So Santa Claus.
So this
up.
Guy gives me a lift, and I'm going to hop in the passenger seat, and he had just been out. He's like, oh, I was just out at the store. I had to buy milk and bread. He puts in the back seat, and he also had a bushel of fresh-picked beans. And I sit down next to him. I start to buckle up. I look over. He's got his delicious tall can of, was it?
Bush?
I believe it was... was something. It was
Coors
beer.
Light.
I don't
Natty
remember
Light.
Which brand now.
Bowman's favorite brand?
Natty Light.
No, it wasn't Natty.
Whatever. It was some cheap beer. He's drinking and driving, basically.
Yeah, so he in fact did take a drink while we were driving me most of the way back to my home.
You know, and I usually don't drive just intoxicated.
But it sure is fun.
You're pretty for a young guy.
We're back to the Deliverance references now.
I don't know.
So he drove me most of the way home, and on the way he happened to say, he goes, you know, this morning I went to drop the grandkids off at school, and he, in fact, himself had a flat tire that day. So I thought, what's the chances you're going to get picked up with a flat tire by someone who had the same thing happen?
Were his grandchildren midgets?
That would really never was on spooky.
But then he dropped me off. I walked about a mile home. I didn't want to, he drove me about 7 miles. I was like, that's far enough. You can go home. You got to get that milk in the fridge. So I walked home, and we went out later that night and kind of scrolled my car up the road to my uncle's friend's house, and then
who will be Craig in 50 years, right? Or Craig will that? Be. Is this the Leo guy you always talk about?
No, this wasn't. This Mr. Butch had helped us, not Leo, not Craig.
He needs a Mr. in front of his name? Mr. Butch.
Mr. Butch. That's how I know him, Craig.
Okay.
You know?
Fine enough.
You be polite to people, not Craig Cole to people.
Well.
He's calling him again.
That's right. Ben knows.
I'm just going to seethe here and turn my head from him. Side to side awkwardly.
So, anyway, you know, we ended up getting that. He got me a suitable spare to use, and I went over to the junkyard and got two new rims, because then I went out and got two new tires. So obviously I screwed the one rim, and then I got a full size spare now and two new tires put on. So,
So was that it for your day then?
That was it for the day.
So you had locked flat tire, broken jack, drunk driver. Little people in an accident.
And locked my keys.
Lock your keys in your car.
Well, and then it would have been cool if it would have made a circle, like, you know, maybe the guy that came to pick you up was a midget.
Yes.
Or the guys who picked you up,
he was a locksmith or something.
Yeah. In the evening, you went to see a showing of The Station Agent. So, that one landed like a lead balloon.
Like the Hindenburg? What?
Let's just say it's deserving of this little theme.
No, Benny Hill on us, Ben. Very good.
Benny Hinn? Or Hill?
Hill.
I'm conflating the televangelist with the...
Well, Rich, you had quite a day, it sounds like.
Yeah, it was. So,
can you give us some Jimmy Stewart?
Well,
is he around?
I can tell you, Craig, the other day I was made my way out to school to take my math
test. We don't need to hear the story again, thank you.
And we had a plane crash.
Plane crash.
Right near where the midget's accident was. It was pretty remarkable.
Shooting off bottle rockets at the airport again, Rich? Is that what you're doing? No? Nothing?
No. Do you have a short poem for us, Jimmy?
Not at all, Jason.
No?
Jason, we could have a Jimmy Stewart off, because Jason does a pretty mean impersonation.
Well, does he promote Quicksilver motor oil? Gives your car lively go power.
Oh, how are you going to parry that blow, Jason?
Oh, goodness. I got to think of a quick poem to... Lake Winnipesaukee is a calming place. Its surface... as smooth as glass. But getting to Lake Winnipesaukee is a genuine pain in the ass.
And that was a haiku by Raymond James Stewart. Well, Rich, thank you for sharing your story. That is quite a busy, quite an unfortunate day, but at least you weren't injured with a car falling on you or
a
drunk driver.
That was my whole point. I didn't wreck anybody, and I didn't go off the side of the bridge.
And the drunk driver didn't get you killed either. Drunken Santa Claus ghost man. Charlie Daniels went down to Georgia. Whatever. Yeah. So be careful out there. It's a dangerous world we live in.
Yes.
Terrorists win. And with that, folks, Ben, we can wrap things up here, bring this show full circle. Highfalutin episode, roundabout, number 53. Michelle Naranjo.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us again.
Thank
Sorry,
you.
Cooling down.
Oh, Ben's having a beer, a virtual beer. It's a new iPhone app. But Michelle, where can the peeps find you? You are you're on autotropolis.com and also Ms. Motor, right?
You'd never know I'm on Autotropolis. I just do the editing. I'm behind the scenes. I'm the wizard behind the curtain. I'm the
wizard
one that,
sleeve.
Yes, no. MissMotormouth.com and Open Line Show on Twitter and Facebook. And, yeah, getting ready to head out actually here in a few minutes to the Powder Puff Race, which is a women's, all-women's off-road race to raise money for breast cancer research.
Hmm. Save the boobies.
And last week you were at
Eric.
Petite
Not
Le Mans.
Yay.
Yeah, last week I was at Petite Le Mans, and I'll have an article coming out in the next few days on the truth about cars.
What?
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is that new Miss Motor column you're doing?
No, that's a cheap knockoff from a cheap website.
No, I don't know. She's gone, I think.
You killed her?
No, she was on a trial basis, and I think she didn't make the grade.
I see. Okay. Fair enough.
So what happens when you use Michelle. A cheap knockoff?
I'm still here.
Yay. I'm the best. I won the battle. Eric Tritko, RumbleStrip.net.
RumbleStrip.net.
WebRidesTV.com.
Correct.
RoundaboutShow.com. We'll see your review of the what?
Well, it could be the...
The Srix.
The Srix, the Cadillac SRX, or it could be the Mazda 6 article that just went up today, being Friday. If you're listening to this later, obviously it won't, but if you go back to Friday on WebRidesTV.com, you can see my review of the 2010 Mazda 6 iTouring sedan.
Very good. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me here.
Jefferson Ross.
Tis me.
Also from the Automotropolis.
No, just Autotropolis.
Oh, that's right. There's extra syllable there. I'm not sure why.
It's currently a division of Autobytel.
.com. No. What you working on?
Yeah. Getting ready for a big something next week.
Planning a bowel movement.
I will be driving the Chevy Volt on Thursday.
Awesome.
And I almost got hit by a Volt.
What?
I almost got hit by a Volt.
Michelle almost got hit by a Volt at Petite Le Mans.
Well, that should have been a highway hearsay, goddammit, Michelle. Next week.
That'll be next week. It'll tie in.
We'll hear that highway hearsay. So, Jeff, thank you for joining us. As always, a pleasure.
And Jeff, I'm sure, wants to remind you to vote for Internet Car of the Year, which you can find all the details about on roundaboutshow.com.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that.
Yeah. And, of course, Ben Sanders. Producer extraordinaire, getting us off.
I just swirled my hand in a dramatic motion.
Close to on time, about an hour late, but that's better than most nights. And last but not least, he has returned. He's like MacArthur entering the Philippines. Jason White from CarDesignFetish.com, and I'm sure...
Ostensibly. Now that I'm through with my current project, I can get back to writing about cars
Speaking
that people don't
of
like.
Current projects. We alluded, we very lightly touched on a topic a couple times earlier in the show. You have a book, I understand, right?
Just finished writing my first book. It is called Old School Viscom. And for those of you who are not in the biz, Viscom is short for visual communication. And this is a book about old techniques. Analog sketching that a lot of people don't use much anymore, but I still think they're valid.
I like, because everybody does things on computer now, right?
Yeah, but there's a lot of things you can learn from these techniques that can be applied in a computer world that you might not necessarily think of coming from the digital end. For example, there's a lot of renderings here that are done with colored paper and splicing in other colors with a knife.
That's so analog.
Which is very analog, but a lot of times I see people just going straight with white paper, you know, in a digital format because it's a white page they're starting with, and it doesn't occur to them to start with colored, you know, background. I'm like, well, you know, you can do that. And
there are options.
Yeah.
So you've got your book. You care to hold it up?
And here it is.
All right.
One of the
old school Viscom.
One of the preview copies right there.
Very... I like the cover. It's very elegant looking, I must say. That has some class to it.
I'm a fan of Sid Mead's series of books, and he does, you know, they're very simple, you know, monochromatic covers, and I just wanted to keep it very basic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very comprehensive book. It's 258 pages.
And you did all the pictures? You did all the illustrations? Yeah. You wrote the text, obviously.
Essentially, what you have here, and should I turn it around the other way?
Like there
this?
You go.
Okay. You start with, I'll use the first one. Here's a helmet for the first rendering. And you go to this page next to the finished rendering, and it has pictograms showing all the tools you need to use. And then there's 20 steps to each rendering. It goes one step at a time, showing you how to do the...
So this is an instruction manual to teach artists some of the older school techniques, right?
Yeah.
I like that retro kind of idea, because we're so digital these days.
I've been told, and this was not something that I knew when I was making this book, but I've been told that in certain parts of the world, like India, there's still a really high regard and a lot of emphasis placed on analog sketching, mm-hmm. more so than, say, in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And that might explain why there's been a lot of interest in the book from India in particular. I was wondering why,
mm-hmm.
and that might explain it. But at any rate, there's 20 different renderings in here.
Step by step.
Step by step. And there's text to go with it and little pictograms showing, you know, markers being used. Mm-hmm. And there's all different varieties of renderings here. There's some stuff that's much more. Here's like an image on the back of all 20.
You know what strikes me most about the book?
What?
Craig?
You can draw.
I sure as heck hope I can, because that's what I'm paid to do.
I can put my hand down and trace it. I can make a pretty good turkey, but it's really about my artistic abilities, the limit there. But very nice book. When is it available?
Is the goal of this to make it like also like so it's the textbook?
Do you remember in Capote where he says that he's producing a nonfiction novel, I think is what he says in the movie? I like to think of this as a coffee table textbook. If you want to learn how to draw this stuff, it's great. You know, or if you just like to look at the pictures, that's great too. Not everybody who watched Bob Ross was interested in painting. They just wanted to relax.
True. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you could go both ways.
It's a special tree.
That's my dad.
Yeah.
So. Cool.
But, it is now available for pre-order.
Pre-order.
The actual launch of the book is going to be on November 3rd. And if you're in the Detroit area, we're going to have a little release party at a bar that's right next door to where I live.
So you can stagger home.
I walked into that one. So you can go on the web and pre-order it now. If you like, those of you who pre-order before the launch will get a 10% discount. You can go to oldschoolviscom.com, or we're also on the Facebook. Both.
What do you search for on Facebook?
Just type Old School Viscom, V-I-S-C-O-M.
Obvious, Ben.
And it'll be on there. So.
And we'll put a link in Roundabout Show, too.
There's this week's tie-in.
Oh, there is,
The DeLorean.
There is a DeLorean in the book, yes. Because rendering stainless steel is very, very challenging because you have to show the grain and it doesn't have hard reflections like regular painted metal does. So it's...
So you're saying it's a real mother bleeper.
It's a challenge.
It's a mother scratcher.
It's not
easy. I want someone to render a DeLorean after I get a hold of one with a stainless steel pad.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Like I could do all sorts of nice designs with, you know, some... A stainless steel pad and like...
You mean a Brillo pad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Draw a smiley face. Well, great. No. We will we'll have to have you back on once the book is out. Gets on the New York Times bestseller list. Have you on again. But yeah, Old School Viscom. Check out the website. We'll have the link in the show notes.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Thanks,
awesome.
Very much.
Congratulations on getting your first book. That's an accomplishment.
It's been 7 long months, and it's nice to. And it has an ISBN on it too. That's the best
official.
Part. It is for real.
Some people spend 20 years writing a book, Jason. You should be congratulated for 7 months.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Thank you, Michelle.
And a good book at that.
I appreciate that.
All right.
It's heavy too.
It's got some husk to it.
Yeah.
Sell it by the pound. Mm-hmm. So thanks to all of you out there for listening.
Greatest motorcycle ever made.
They still make Vincent's, by the way.
Cut his mic! Cut his mic! No.
Thanks for joining us this week. We'll see you next time around the roundabout.
Yep. All right. Well, that's just about it for this week's show. So thank you for out there for listening. We invite you to leave a voicemail on our Google Voice account. The number is 1-559-ROAB-411. In numbers, that's 1-559-762-2411. Leave us a message. We'll get to it when we can. We appreciate it. You can also follow us on Twitter. It's twitter.com/roundaboutshow. And we're also on the Facebook, along with oldschool.com.
The Facebook.
The Facebook. It's facebook.com/roundaboutshow. Now, if you never want to miss an action-packed episode, and who does, frankly, this is the best goddamn automotive podcast out there, you can subscribe on the iTunes, or on the Zune Marketplace as well. But that's about it for today's show. Thanks to all of you out there listening, and I invite you to please join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We'll talk to you then. Some interesting techniques in there. It's not just colored pencils.
Now, the alcohol one is the one that strikes a lot of people as interesting.
It calms your hands, right? Have some alcohol first, and then...
Jason, is your book available in audio form? Do you narrate the
Yes, it is available. It is available in audio form, and it's read by James Earl Jones.
There aren't many shiny surfaces in this rendering, but there are ample opportunities still for gouache highlights. Page 65.
It's the ravages of marriage, lately. Ben.
Listen to Michelle.
I love it when everyone else gets grumpy.
Ben, you got to get the intro.
It's been a long week.
To Roseanne, where she's the first season. Breaking in those poker chips.
I still remember.
And Michelle hung up on us. Jeffrey, anytime you are ready, you may take us away.
Well, since I read what's put in front of me. From Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Jeffrey Ross.
Nice. Florida. Oh.
From Long Beach, California, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
From the Roundabout Studios in Livonia, Michigan, I'm Eric Tritko.
And I'm Jason White.
I'm your host, Craig Cole.
And I'm producer Ben Sanders.
This is Roundabout.
Did you want to do that again, Ben, or is that... Fine.
Mine didn't even have my name in the script. It just says from Long Beach, California.
I thought it sounded a little odd.
The funny thing is, there's something ridiculous statistic about these car about the Maybach and.
Hold on. Let's pause for a second because
right,
we're going out of order. We're talking about the Rolls Royce, but the first thing you got on the list is the Maybach.
Yes.
Right. I'm looking at the thing, and it's right. Yeah, I had to move May,
that's why I got so confused. I was Ben, gesturing wildly toward Craig.
Ben is right. We totally like.
Oh, let's just start over. Just throw it out. One of those weeks.
From Jacksonville, Florida.
That's about where we know what we need to do. Roseanne Naranjo.
Wow.